Dungeons and Crusaders, you are now listening to Vox Arcana, a production of Hollow Street Media. By the will of the immortal Emperor of Mankind, it has been decreed that the following broadcast of Vox Arcana may not be suitable for all ages. The views expressed on this Voxcast are solely those of the individual providing them and do not represent the opinion of this station, website, or any affiliated partner. Audience discretion is advised.
Attention on the battle fleet. This is Captain Ramaskos of the Imperial Star Cruiser Vox Arcona. Please listen carefully to the following announcement.
In accordance with the Codex Astartes, we hope that you have a productive trip to Arcona and arrive with the will to deliver the Emperor's judgment. Thank you.
Greetings, Crusaders! Welcome to Vox Arcona Mission 22, recording Saturday, October 24th, 2015, and coming to you from the Battlefleet Charon in the Segmentum Obscurus. I am Katsu, and I'm pleased to share the fleet's Vox Relay tonight with Gigabyte. How are you doing?
Hello, peoples. I'm not going to do that, thank you very much.
Right. So what have you been doing? We've been gone for 2 weeks now, so what have you been doing over that time period?
Yes, indeedy. I had a wedding to go to. My sister's wedding was last weekend.
Congratulations.
Had a very good time. Lots of drink was drunk, so thank you very much. And yourself, what were you up to at the weekend?
Oh, let's see. I managed to get in a little bit of Eternal Crew. I mean, work was a bear, all basically for the last 2 weeks, and
work is always a bear.
It is. But I managed to get in some Eternal Crusade that I won't be able to talk about. You know what? One of these days, I'm gonna make it a point to be on the Eternal Crusade or be on Into the Warp when they're recording, so that I can be like, oh yeah, in that game, we did this, and this, and blah 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 blah. And by the way, let me tell you about blah 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 blah. And I'm just gonna use that to open the floodgates. But, really fun stuff that I will gingerly dance around for our listeners, and really a lot. I'll be honest, a lot of what
You're
I've been doing.
Very nimble, but it didn't sound like that.
I am very nimble, no. Most of my time has been taken up in Lord of the Rings Online, just simply because. Like when I get home from work, I'm exhausted. I don't want to jump into a firefight, you know. I think I'm gonna go and harvest some ore, and you know what I'm saying. Like, I'm in that kind of slower pace that an MMO provides.
Yes,
I don't really want to jump into a firefight, you know. But like I said, did manage to get some time in.
Yeah,
not that we can talk about it, but so let's We're here to talk as much as we can about Eternal Crusade, so let's jump in. Graham didn't have a short story for us this week, but we did find out that Angry Joe is not the only person to have their NDA lifted. Apparently, Fayette212 out of Canada, that was what, natfka.blogspot.ca, they published NATFKA. I don't know. I'm not Canadian. Apparently, I don't know. They asked some people. Well, here's the deal. They asked some people, and they are giving away 10 captain's packs. So, and you can go to their Blogspot site and hunt down the information, or you can go through the Eternal Crusade Twitter, because they were advertised through the Eternal Crusade Twitter about their impressions of Closed Alpha and their the contest they have going on. So, if you want a captain pack, or you want a captain upgrade, or you want a partridge in a pear tree, and you just want to get a little bit of extra jollies, you want some more points or whatever, definitely go talk to them, because, I mean, they're giving away $120 packs. I mean, what can you do? In the meanwhile, we're here for you guys, talking about all the things we can talk about. So,
We're just sitting here talking away.
And we'll just sit here and just kind of parrot back what we see. But anyway, so anyway, we decided we're gonna change the format up a little bit because what we have observed is that the people who do talk to us or communicate back and forth with us are people who watch the live stream all the time anyway. And what they don't need to hear is they don't need to hear the bullet point by bullet point thing that they just spent an hour watching on the live stream. So we're going to kind of skim through into the warps kind of from now on, hit the high points and kind of stretch out a little bit. You know, we're not in one of those tight coupes. We're in a big sprawling luxury vehicle and we're going to take our time. You know, and just kind of talk about what we've seen and not feel like we have to push through the content. We're just going to hit our high points, the stuff that we thought was cool. So if you want a detailed breakdown of what was in each End of the Warp, there are text files in the forums. There's the End of the Warp Twitch on Twitch. There's also they're on YouTube as well. So definitely go hit those up. Anyway. So, Into the Warp 37, 2 weeks ago. Brent, Katie, and Nathan were on, as always, holding down the fort. Some things that we discussed. Fortresses and the Vindicator. Oh my gosh. Did you get a chance to see this one? So for
yes,
those
of, I caught a bit of it.
Right. So for those of you who don't know or aren't like, you know, EC connoisseurs like we are, the Blackstone Fortress defense map that people have been playing on recently is the first fortress. It's like, or not Blackstone, Black Bolt or something like that. It is now the first fortress map. And there's a gate, and there's trenches, and there's all kinds of stuff. Tons of stuff to do, tons of places to hide, tons of places to set up, you know, defilades and just all kinds of craziness in these fortresses.
It's ambush central.
Oh my gosh, it was so much fun. That and the fact that it gives you, there's a couple of occasions that you've seen in this Twitch and last Twitch, or the most recent Twitch and then the one we're talking about, where somebody rounds a corner and immediately pulls a 180 and gets their weapon up and gets ready to shoot at the guy that was chasing them. So, like, you never know when that kind of thing's coming, or when suddenly you round the corner and there's, like, you round the corner kind of cocky that you're gonna gun down this guy you've been chasing down, and suddenly there's a sorcerer right there, and he just cuts you apart, you know. So, definitely, you know, stuff we saw on the Twitch. But in addition to fortress play, in addition to there being the gigantic walls, which, by the way, the Black Bolt Fortress map is the Black Bolt defense map that they've had, but then they've added walls, and most importantly, walls, trenches, the quad turrets, and most importantly, the blast door, the gigantic blast door of doom. And conventional weapons will just have no effect on these on this wall. Las cannons, plasma guns, they will have some effect on this wall. What will have a distinct advantage on this wall is the Vindicator siege tank.
Oh, baby.
It's in. It is in, and I cannot tell you whether or not I have played using one, but I will tell you that it definitely looks cool. But in the live stream, they shoot at the door without anybody firing at them, obviously. But it took down the blast door in 5 hits. I'm not too keen on the rate of fire. I think that because it'll fire and then there's kind of a cooldown and then it'll fire again. But when it fires, well, here's what I'm saying. When it fires,
it's going to take a while to fire.
Sorry, say that again?
It's a mobile mortar, isn't it? So it is going to take a while to fire.
But that's just it, though. The Vindicator in 40K doesn't have it arcing fire and direct fire, does it? No, it's just...
Yes, it does.
I thought it was just a straight cannon blast. Because that's what I was...
I've changed it since I played last. Yeah, I was just saying, well, they might have changed it last, like, since I last played it, but well, since I last played it, it was in very accurate.
Well, so you got a chance to look at all that, though, right?
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you give us your thoughts on that while I look up whether or not this is supposed to be an arcane canon or not?
To be honest, it's exactly what I expected. You know, I expected it to be an arcane fire similar to the plasma cannon. I didn't expect it to be quite so slow, if I'm totally honest. But it kind of fits, especially if they're going to make it quite a powerful mobile weapon. You don't want it to be too fast to have a too fast a rate of fire. I pretty much, you know, expected what we saw. Pretty much went along the lines of what I expected to see.
Well, that's another big thing, and it's something that needs to be mentioned. The Vindicator will not fire on the move. It has to come to a complete stop before it fires. So, let me see here.
Yeah, I mean, it's designed for siege warfare. You know, it's designed to take down walls. For them to create the most fun gameplay out of that, you really want it to be not so slow that it takes forever to fire, but slow enough that it can take some hits from the enemy while it's trying to batter down the walls. And that means the people that have got the Vindicator attacking the walls have to then protect it while it's doing its thing.
Right. Just so you know, the Demolisher Cannon, 24-inch range, strength 10 AP2, Ordnance 1 large blast, so it can shoot ordnance like pie plate template type stuff. So yeah, I was wrong. But anyway, but no. So, and it's cool. They said that the front driver will have the cannon controls. Just because if you set the gunner of a Vindicator solely able to fire the Vindicator, it doesn't turn very well. It can't fire while the vehicle's on the move. There's no real coordination. There would have to be so much coordination between the driver and the gunner that it's just better to put them both in the same seat. Definitely looks sweet. I've always loved the dozer blade on the front of the Vindicator, just simply because it's like just that siege shield.
Yeah.
I just love that look. It's iconic. So
definitely.
But they also mentioned 4 top complaints that have been coming out of the alpha. First off, the LAS cannon, which, being as they have fixed it, I can tell you, like, once you shoulder the LAS cannon to fire it, that turn rate turned into molasses. Like, it was impossible to turn. And what they were trying to do is they were trying to prevent the LAS cannon from being as mobile as a sniper rifle, or as a stalker bolter, or a bolt gun, because they wanted LAS cannons to be for long range. They want stalkers to be for close action and sniping. So what they've decided to do is that it doesn't have a turn rate penalty anymore. The LAS cannon doesn't. But there will still be, but there's a lock-on that's going to have to happen. So, like, you have to keep the target painted for the entire heat-up for the LAS cannon to shoot. And what this will do is somebody who's running a zigzag, you know what I'm saying, somebody who's running a strafe pattern, it's going to be really hard to keep that LAS cannon locked on that dude. Whereas something like a vehicle, you're going to have plenty more time, you know, plenty more space to paint that target. So... And there was a. I liked the duel. Did you see the shootout between? I think it was Human and Nathan Human and Brent, where they tried to lock onto each other with the LAS cannon while also strafing. It was pretty funny.
Yeah. They end up killing each other, I think, don't they?
I think they both did, yeah. Speaking of sprinting and strafing, one of the big complaints, and I guess we're fine talking about changes that have been made, I guess, is that
I suppose
whenever you're not running, prior to the fix, because the second thing that got mentioned was sprinting and strafing that they didn't like, that the alpha testers didn't like, because you see prior to this change that has now been included or now been put into the game, if you're just walking, then A was a left strafe and D was a right strafe. But if you were running, standard WASD, and I'm going to pretend that we're only talking about the keyboard here because I haven't plugged in a controller to play it yet. But standard WASD, if you're walking, then W forward, S back, obviously. But A was a left strafe, D was a right strafe. When you were running, or when you were walking, you'd use your mouse to turn. But when you were running, A turned into a right, a left turn, and D turned into a right turn. So you'd overturn because your hand, the muscle memory in your hand, right, so off-putting, because the muscle memory in your hand is telling your mouse to jerk to the right to shoot, and you're trying to strafe. So instead, you do this weird thing where you didn't really accomplish the movement that you wanted to do. And now you can toggle this off so that it does what it used to do. Yeah. Apparently you can put in, they're putting in a toggle where you can switch back to the old way, but the 45 degree strafing, just, it feels more natural to me. They said that that's something that was more like the original, like Space Marine and a couple other games have had that 45 degree strafe. So it's now back, it's now in, and it's working. There was also an issue with accidental fault. Oh yeah, yeah. It's good to see that they changed it from the way that it used to be, which was kind of crap. Then they said that accidental vaults were something that would occur a lot, where you'd, because they want the game to be contextual, so that whenever you come up to a low wall, you immediately snap to cover. But the problem is, a low wall, if you're running towards it, you may vault it because the computer thinks you're trying to get over the obstacle. And that, of course, puts you in a world of hurt, because you were trying to hide from bullets, and now you have suddenly decided to become the friend of all the bullets. So now, whenever you approach cover, you need to actually hit space to vault over it. Otherwise, it will immediately assume that you're trying to go to cover, and it'll immediately snap you to cover. So, definitely something to keep in mind. And that was annoying to me. I never ran into that problem so much, because what I have played... I can't say that. I really like how Into the Warp uses the Sorcerer. I'll say that. And the Sorcerers don't usually rely on cover too much. Did I say too much? I don't know. Like... I want to say the thing, but not say the thing, you know? Anyway, so at this point, like I said, the stuff that I usually do in the alpha doesn't really require me using a lot of cover, so I haven't really become intimate with the cover system, per se, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway, also the fourth thing. I mean, is there a way that you can? I mean, can you? Do you have anything on that or?
Yeah, I mean, I suppose with a system like vaulting and cover, I think once you know it's there, yeah. From my experience at least, once you know it's there, you adjust your playstyle accordingly. So once you know it works a certain way, you adjust to play that way. And so when you're running towards cover, and you know you're going to vault over it, you make that decision ahead of time, like, right, I'm going to vault over that, or I'm going to let go of the button so I slide to a halt, you know. But I can definitely see that it'd probably a better idea for it to slide you into cover and bring you to a complete stop, rather than go headlong over the cover into oncoming fire. I can see that a lot of people would have preferred that style.
Nice. Yeah, I like I said, I really haven't had much need for the vault, so I don't really know too much about that. The first two I think will be vast improvements to the way the game is played. Then the last complaint that got brought up is melee keeps being a problem. And so they have said that if they have to tweak this 19 million times to get melee right, then that's what they want to do, because melee is a part of 40K, and if they, here's the deal, like, realistically, you know, and I think you're with me on this, but if they can't get melee right, there are a bunch of classes that suffer for it. You know, the assaults, the raptors, the striking scorpions, the banshees, the boys, like, every orc suffers for this.
I was gonna say, orcs.
Yeah,
in general, really.
So many classes suffer for a really crappy melee system. So they have to get the melee right. Even though the guns are going to shred people on the way in, like, they have to get the melee right. If they don't, it's just going to keep screwing things up. So they've stated that this is going to be a comprehensive, longer-term plan, I guess. So, that's something, right? Q&A, a lot of repetition. Things we didn't cover. We didn't cover this. A ton of sergeants are now into the closed alpha. I think they said it in 38, like, most of the sergeants are in now. Which is good, because warriors are set. Warriors, as I recall, are still set to come in November. So, at that point, we will have everybody who has paid money for this game in the game and still not able to tell anybody about it. So, at any rate,
not the word bitter or anything.
Oh man, that's beside the point. Like, I like being a community podcast, and so I want to talk to the community about stuff that's going on. So I just have to, I guess I'll just
so,
have to.
Yes. So community, if the community would like us to be able to talk about the alpha, yeah, let behavior know.
Then let the right people know. But, but until then, I will hang out with my Vigilium Mortis brothers in TeamSpeak, and all of us who have made it into the alpha already, and we will sit there and we will talk about what's going on in the alpha. So, other things. Not a lot in the Q&A front on the 37th, because a lot of people are asking the same questions that have been asked since the beginning. Now, as a way of clarification, there is now a new wave, a new massive wave of troopers, sergeants, warriors, captains that have now entered the mix. So obviously questions are going to come up that they want to get answered. So what we're going to do is we're going to extend to the community at large our public service announcement. Clearly, you cannot listen to... Well, I mean, you could. You could listen to all 38 Into the Warps. I work a job where I work 10 hours straight, and then I work 8 days in a row straight. So I could technically, if they were podcasted, or if I just had enough data to burn, I could listen to all 38 Into the Warps at my job over the course of like a week, doing nothing but, you know, listening to it when I'm on my job. but that wouldn't do anything, and it would all just start blurring together, and then you'd wonder who this guy Miguel is, and what's going on with these things, and where half of the people went to, and it would just be, I mean, you'd have a full conception of what has gone on over the last several years, but, or the last year or two, but that wouldn't help you out. We've only got 22 episodes. Hey, you can try us. Also, there's a fact on the, there's a fact on the site that answers most of your questions. And let's be 100% honest. Like, we, if you're listening to this podcast and you have never heard me say this before, we think that if you're listening to this podcast, you're pretty damn intelligent, and you know that we're not just gonna repeat mindless questions for the sake of repeating mindless questions. So, what that means is that you will get kind of the straight dope from us without repeating the lamented Dreadnought question, or the lamented is this the final build question, basically asking Nathan, Daddy, are we there yet? So, or when's the NDA gonna get lifted? Because, you know, whatever. Anyway, somebody asked that. Somebody asked that, I think, on the End of the Warp 38. They were like, so when are we going to have the NDA lifted? Which is basically a weekly question, because there's a lot of people who want to stream and a lot of people who want to Twitch, and there's this one podcast that wants to start talking about their experiences in the game. But the NDA is there, so what can you do? Yep. So, End of the Warp 38. Noah, Katie, and Nathan, because Brent was on vacation. And this here makes me super, super happy, because in the production update, they have added the Blood Angels, complete with their correct helmet colorations.
White Kong
And White Kong went, this is the White Kong needs to change his keyboard episode, because first off, the Blood Angels, they have correct squad markings, correct everything, and even the helmet colors are correct.
Correctly colored helmets. Yeah.
Well, the thing is this, for those who aren't Blood Angels fans, the chapters usually mark what their job is, or they usually don't mark what their job is. They will instead mark their company colors in trim, or as Roman numerals on their on their knees or shoulders or whatever. They'll never, I mean, the Blood Angels, however, their troops, their tactical marines always wear red helmets. Their devastators always wear blue helmets. Their assaults always wear yellow helmets. The apothecaries are obviously white with white trim. So, the thing is, they have the detail down to that, and that makes me happy, because that means that they're paying attention to the lore, not just going, okay, well, here's a marine in red, you know. The other people, man, I'm just gonna, I can't say what I have been playing when I play Chaos in the closed alpha, but I will say that the Night Lords look freaking amazing. So the Night Lords got added, and their armor,
they crackle with lightning.
Their armor, their personal armor, and their vehicle armor crackles with freaking lightning. It's amazing. It looks so cool. I think that maybe it doesn't need to be as much lightning, because I would be nervous being around me at that point, but also, it's freaking lightning. I'd also make it a little slower.
The only thing I could think of when I saw the Night Lords was Tenacious D, Satan from Tenacious D.
Taste my lightning, fucker! Exactly. The thing is this, like, I'm a, you know, when I play SOTOR, when I play Star Wars Old Republic, or when I play Knights of the Old Republic, or when I play anything at all that allows me to throw lightning at people, I do it. So the fact that the Night Lords are all, like, coated in lightning, yes! All I'm waiting for is the Sorcerer to have a Force Lightning, Chain Lightning, Warp Lightning kind of power, so I can be a Night Lord Sorcerer with lightning down my sword, lightning on my armor, shooting lightning, and then I get into my lightning rhino, and I will become the Night Lord Ninja Ganker. The Night Lord Ninja Ganker. That's something that I made the note of Night Lord Ninja Ganker, because the game had started and the chaos was trying to batter down the door, I think it was, but between the quad guns and the heavy bolters and the last cannons, it was a really hard fight at the front door. So somebody who was playing a Night Lord Raptor went around the side and jump-packed, like, around the side of the wall, and they jump-packed to about halfway up the wall, and there was this, like, buttress or something that they landed on, and then they jumped again and got to the top of the wall. And then from there, they ran through the top of the wall, killing the people who were manning the guns and doing all the things, because he had managed, I mean, hey, fair play. He had managed to get in the building by going around the outside and using his jump pack for tactical advantage, which means that it's not just, you got to break the wall. Also, Katie showed that there's a passage along the left-hand side. This may change. Everything's pre-alpha, blah, blah, blah. Like Katie went around the left-hand side and there's a tunnel through the trench work. You go through the trench work and you follow it around and it goes under the wall and comes up on the inside of the wall. I think maybe there needs to be something there that has to be crack grenaded through, but, cause I don't know that people would be like, what? Yes, we're going to set up a giant, huge blast door, but we're going to leave this one little passage completely undefended with no protection whatsoever. You see what I'm saying?
Well, you know, they did leave a little thing undefended in the Death Star. You know, there was a little hole at the top of the Death Star that no one bothered.
Okay, we're not going to talk about shit. We're not going to talk about crappy, underrated, bad sci-fi. We're going to talk about Warhammer 40K, which is cheesy, cliched, overplayed sci-fi. Let's do it. Covered in man sauce. So, they did add the communications rows into the game right now. You can see the needs, responses, and if you're a sergeant, you can see the orders. Clearly, the warlords aren't in yet, so you're not going to see the warlord. You're not going to see the warlord powers yet. Then, so I take it you're digging the Night Lords and the Blood Angels. You're just waiting for the Space Wolves still.
Oh, I love the Night Lords.
I mean,
I don't care about the Blood Angels. I'm just waiting for the Space Wolves.
Yeah, I know. But like, I'm waiting. Man, the Night Lords. Oh my gosh, those guys look awesome. I could nerd about the Night Lords forever.
I'm going to create a macro so that whenever I shoot lightning, it will say in the chat, "Taste my lightning, fucker."
Also, somebody asked about the bat wings that normally go on a Night Lord's helmet, and they're like, "Oh no, those are coming in." But I don't want bat wings. Yeah. I want the cool little bat spikes. I want the Batman helmet. I don't want the Night Lord helmet, so I can walk up to people and be like, "I am the knight." Anyway,
I am the knight.
Lord, yeah, just go with it. Let's see. They added squad functionality.
Yay!
You can currently join, leave, and change squads. You have to be in a squad no matter what. So if you're in a game and there has not been anybody join yet, you are a squad of one. And then whenever somebody joins in,
a squad of crap.
Yeah. But what will happen is, you're in a squad of one, and then whenever somebody else joins, they'll auto join in to that squad, into your squad, if you happen to have been the first member in. What you can do is, if multiple squads have formed, what would end up happening is, say you wanted to break off to your own squad, you would leave your squad, join a second squad, and then people could transfer over to that squad, which will work out, because if you happen to have, say, a bunch of your, you know, a bunch of your battle formation brothers with you, then they can, like, one of you makes the move, the others jump over to that thing, and now you have a little bit more cohesion and stuff like that. Still, there's no in-game voice. There's not a lot squad-related you can do, but that's all coming in. This is putting squad functionality into the game, and then they can extract. Then they can go deeper in that, you know. In terms of where we go from there, Nathan said that the next sub-faction or sub-factions should be due sometime within the next 3 weeks, and that should bring us to 4 of 5. And that the new maps, and that there will be new maps coming every couple of weeks. Because clearly, what I get the sense of, and I could be wrong, but what I get the sense of is that the world, the continent of Malkadia, is built. What they're doing is they're changing where you spawn in. And they're just like, and so they're working on one map, and then they go build on another map while you test on that map, and then they build on another map while you test on that map. But you can see if you've got your draw distance set up high enough, and you play a jump pack class and you jump all the way up to the tippy top, you look out, if your draw distance is set high enough, you can see for miles. I can see for miles, or kilometers, or whatnot. But you can see a ways. And so the stuff's there. Like, you can see the continent, and it looks like the continent is already there, and it's just waiting to be played with. But they're working on getting it right first, and then move to the next piece. You know what I'm saying? It's like a sort of like a puzzle piece, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Let's see. There was a Meet the Dev where we talked to Sasha, and then 99% of the QA in 38 was just more repetition. To the point where... this was awesome. To the point where somebody asked Nathan, are you getting frustrated that everyone keeps asking you the same question? He was like, no, I love it. No, it's great. And very, very corporate answer. I liked it. And then about 10 minutes later, in the toward the end of Q&A, somebody's like, is Nathan getting frustrated that Nathan's getting frustrated about all the questions that keep getting asked? So it was just like, no, we're just going to keep asking that question now, too. You know, I just want to know where my dreadnought is. Why can't I, you know, can Terminator, why can't I play Terminators right now? And
can
somebody.
Can we play Scouts?
Can we? I want to. Anyway. something that did get brought up, and it's, I didn't put it on the show notes because I was distracted toward the end, but, something that didn't get put in the show notes was that, and now my brain's dead because I didn't put it in the show notes. See? Bad Matt. Bad Matt, go sit in the corner. You know, I don't remember. Oh, well. It was something important. It was just everybody at home. Pretend like what I said or the question I asked was just incredibly motivational and self-affirming. Well, I'm going to say self-affirming. I'm not going to be negative here. It's just whatever I just said, it like changed the way you look at reality and for the better. So just pretend I said that. Wow.
Mind
yeah.
God. Blown.
Blown, dude. Mind blown. So speaking of our brains blown out or something, we also talk about the Warhammer 40K universe on the podcast. The main GW site still hardcore into the Tau, including the new Fire Warrior
Yay,
Strike Squad.
We love the Tau.
I'm pretty happy about the Tau. I want to see the Tau in Eternal Crusade. But Fire Warrior Strike Squad, it is new models, new molds, really good looking stuff.
I can't actually see the Strike Squad and Breacher Squad on the main site. Have you got links to those?
What? You're stoned.
No,
go to the new releases.
Yeah, I went there. There was
well,
there.
Maybe it's just because I'm American. Give me
Could
a second.
You're American. American. No.
Do you look on
Fire
page 2?
Firewire Combined Ops.
Page 2.
Oh.
Page two, you'll see. Nothing's ever found on page two. Well, you see, unlike some people, I do internet research. And that's how I roll. But at any rate, the Sons of Korax. I don't know what Legends of the Dark Millennium is, but it's not a. I don't think it's a battle. I don't think it's a codex. But the Sons of Korax, the Raven Guard. Somebody actually pays attention to them. Anyway, but no, there's the Strike Team, which I'm seeing a lot of. Well, the thing is this: the Strike Team, I'm seeing a lot of plasma rifles with a couple of carbines, and then the Breacher Team, I'm seeing a crap ton of carbines. Actually, are those even carbines?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, those are carbines. But the model that I love the model that I love the absolute most out of this entire set is the Breacher Team Shesla, the sergeant of the Breacher Team, because he's got the pulse carbine, and then he's got like a pulse pistol. It looks like an even tinier version of the carbine, which makes me like...
I think they could have done without the carbine on the Shesla.
Eh.
To be honest.
Well, the thing is this, for the strike team, they have a they have like an Auspex or a scanner, which they show a scanner on one of the other guys. Mm-hmm. But I like, well, no, because here's the problem is you deal with WYSIWYG, and if the Shasla does not have a carbine, he doesn't get to make carbine shots. So, and if carbine still pins like it did previously, that's two extra pinning shots. That's the potential for two extra pinning shots. Well, I think what they did there is they're giving him the pistol to give him a second attack in close combat. Actually, there's one here I want to... Okay, no. He's firing. He's in shooting stance. There was one up in the top corner of the picture that looks like he's two-handing a pistol. But that's not... He's actually just in a rifleman stance. At any rate. But the strike squad, the breacher squad... Man, I'm telling you, man. These new tower are making me want to build another army. But then I'm like, $400 for Tau army, or $400 for damn near anything else that I would actually get a lot of use out of. You know? Look, Daddy's got Fallout 4 and Assassin's Creed Syndicate to buy. So, like, I have to prioritize here. $160 for two video games that I'm going to play the ever-loving crap out of, or $160 for, like, three boxes of a miniature game that I can never get out to the game store to play. So which one wins?
That's true.
I'll tell you which one wins. London needs the assassins.
Oh, totally.
Right. Forge World. Speaking of assassins, man, I'm just transitioning today. I got the transition skills like the DJ.
You're just
I got
all
the
over
quickness. I am. I'm on it. At any rate, what did you think about the Fire Wars? Let's back up a little bit. Like, do you have any thoughts
on
those
guys? I love them. In my opinion, when the Tau first came out, I was all over them. And to be honest, ever since then, the Tau can do no wrong in my opinion. I've loved every single model that they've done. I don't think there's been a single bad model. There's been a few, you know, that have not been as good as some of the other ones, but nothing I would say was a bad model. I like them. I like the make poses. I love that they finally have a plasma a pulse pistol on one of the models, because I've been waiting for that for ages, ever since they put it on the Tau Watercast in Inquisitor. I love them. I think they're amazing.
Nice. So moving forward from there to Forge World, the only thing I saw in there that was worth a damn was the Raven Guard Mordathan Strike Squad. They're Raven Guard snipers in full power armor, which makes me happy. And right next to the Raven Guard Strike Squad, their transfer sheet looks amazing. There's banners, there's banner transfers, there's shoulder transfers, there's everything transfers, and it just looks gorgeous. I want to go play.
Do you know what I like about this Mordathan Strike Squad? It finally it looks like Raven Guard are getting a character to their chapter. They're no longer a black-colored Codex squad or a Codex chapter.
Well, I've always had the sense of the Raven Guard being
Space Marine armored snipers.
Yeah, well, I've always had the impression that the Raven Guard are kind of the behind the scenes stealth operators, but it's you don't see them, you don't really pay much attention to the Raven Guard because they're these other chapters that are off doing all this other stuff and creating all kinds of plot for themselves. You know.
Well, see, I mean, the Raven Guard, the only real attention they've gotten has been from pretty much Captain Kayvan Shrike, which is, you know, uber close combat guy. And you know, I mean, we've already got the Space Wolves, we've got the Blood Angels. That they're uber close combat as it is, and it's just like, oh, there's another chapter that does close combat, right? But this edition of power armored snipers, as opposed to scouts with sniper rifles, the other chapters have, I think is a really really nice addition and kind of gives them their own flavor now.
Yeah. I also think, well, the thing is this, like, this is sort of the injustice that's been dealt toward the Raven Guard, because they're a first founding, you know, like, they can trace, mm-hmm. they literally trace their stuff back to a Primarch, and for them to be like, meh, you know, whatever, we're just here, we'll do whatever. Now, the downside, of course, is that the Raven Guard operate around stealth, around secrecy, and unfortunately, this isn't 3rd edition 40K. There is no invisible tokens, you know, just making notes of where models are hiding and stuff like this. Like, none of that exists anymore, because this is a very, like, tournament-heavy style game now. So it's rough to fit in a small unit kill team style, you know, guys that are really good at kill team type ops, and be like, you know what, let's put them in and put them into a straight up 40K beatdown fight and then wonder why they're not being amazing, you know. So definitely, and I think that, here's the thing though, I think that the Raven Guard, the Mordathan Strike Squad, is a heresy. Is it heresy or is it 40K? I don't remember.
Well, they're beaky armor, they're Mark 6, so I would say they're 40K.
Okay. Yeah, definitely.
Because I don't think the Mark 6 came until after the heresy.
No, I think that they were using, what, 4s and 5s? Or 4s in the heresy?
Yeah, I think.
Yeah. So, at any rate, definitely give these guys a... Well, first off, let me back up. If you are at a game store and you are not allowing 30K at your table, you are killing the game. Like, just stop. Now, I understand that 30K and 40K operate on different power levels, you know, to a degree, but let's be 100% honest with ourselves here. Games Workshop, the main company, is selling miniatures, and they don't give two shits about the game itself. And I've yet to find a single person who will argue me on that point, like, cohesively and not just doing it to be contrary. Forge World, yes, they're part of GW to an extent, but they also care about the game they're putting out. They are passionate about the game they're putting out in a lot of the same ways that Specialist Games was back in the day, when GW handed all of their minor all their minor brands to Specialist, and Specialist loved the crap out of it. And I'm sad that it didn't do better, but when you hand all your rules to
the fans
team,
absolutely loved the product.
Well, that's just it. There is not a single person that I have introduced. I have introduced people to Necromunda, to Mordheim, to Battlefleet Gothic, to there's the other one, Blood Bowl. Like, all of those were under the Specialist Game
Blood
umbrella.
Bowl, yeah.
All of those were under the Specialist Game umbrella, and Games Workshop was like, okay, well, you guys can keep updating the rules and all, but we're not gonna put your miniatures in the stores. People are just gonna have to magically know about these games and then go to the website and custom order them at full price of what they used to be.
It's almost like Games
Workshop
saw that they were selling everything. They went, oh god, we best do something about this.
What people like these games? Well, screw that. We're gonna bury it, and then we're gonna wonder why they didn't do well. Anyway, but Forge World actually is passionate about the heresy line, and everybody. I mean, the thing is this: nobody likes this game because of the current set of rules. Everybody loves this game because of the fluff and the kind of the nerdery of playing this game. You know, the hobby, the enjoyment of the game. And here's the deal. If people are bringing Heresy stuff, if people want to buy and build and bring Heresy stuff to your game store, then by God, if you're playing Space Marines, then just say, okay, cool. Do you happen to know where I can find a copy of the 30K rules for my Marines? Done. Problem solved. End of thing, and you get to have fun in a game that's built to have fun with. So, anyway, that's my thing. GW, support GW. Whether or not the more Dathan Strike Squad is 30k or 40k should not matter. You should be out having fun with your friends with these miniatures. That's what matters.
But
that's
then, I mean,
important.
If you find your local Games Workshop store isn't supporting that, then you can
then
always
build
a
new game store.
Yeah, well, you can always go out and start your own gaming club. There's plenty of them about.
Right. Yeah. No, you definitely, even if it's a matter of putting some guys in a basement or in a backyard or in a garage for a couple of, you know, for one day a week, just being nerds on tables,
yeah, exactly. You
know, get your community built up, and you'd be amazed what happens. I mean, I moved to a town. I'll tell you this story, and this is a true story. I could provide you sources if asked, but I don't want to call anybody out. I came to a city that I lived in at one point in my life, and the game store had, it was originally a game store that got picked up by a collectibles guy, guy who ran a collectibles shop, and then he, like, sports memorabilia, comic books, stuff like that. And over time, apparently, the gaming side of his business dwindled to nothing, and he replaced it all with collectibles and comic books, which is what you do when you've got square footage that needs to be, you know, merchandised, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I came into town, and I got a hold of a couple of guys that I had found on a forum somewhere that were into 40K, and between that and a couple of friends that were into War Machine that I had, you know, met through my little network of nerdery that I tend to generate around myself, we ended up, over the course of a year, we turned an 8-foot merchandising section, you know, an 8-foot wall of miniature gaming, role-playing, and collectible board games and living card games and stuff, we turned 8 feet into a 55-foot run, or a 50-whatever-foot run, 54-foot run, with separate sections. Because what happened is, we started playing games, and we started making sure that other people were watching us play games. And once that happened, holy crap, it's like the floodgates opened. So, speaking of floodgates opening, Battlefleet Gothic Armada, the closed alpha has opened. Sign up for the closed alpha is via their forums. You have to have a forum account, and then you go in and you sign up for the alpha, and they verify your forum login. And then that puts you in the queue for their alpha whenever they start building, whenever they start letting people in. So if we have gushed on this show on, what, 3 separate occasions about Battlefleet Gothic Armada?
Oh, yeah, at least.
So do yourself a favor. Do your research. Go to YouTube. Look those things. Look that up. Go to the internet. Look at Battlefleet Gothic Armada's website. If that, you know, strums your loot, then get on the forums, create the account, sign up for closed alpha. Because here's the deal. Like, I have been in a lot of alphas and a lot of betas, And sometimes, for some games, I have been a day-by-day commentator. I would set up a bug log, a bug report that I would fill out, and then I would hand the entire thing over after each day of play. And sometimes, like, sometimes that's what I do for the game. And sometimes what I do for the game is I am just a body on the map trying desperately to find as many ways to creatively murder myself as possible so that if something goes wrong, I can find it and report it. So the thing is this, if you're an alpha and beta test nerd like I am, then definitely go sign up, participate. If you liked, there was an iPad game that's on Steam, Sid Meier's Starships. If you dug that, mm-hmm. if you dug the space combat of it, then sign up for the closed alpha here. You won't be disappointed from everything we've seen. If you just want a new game to throw stuff at, then this is your jam too. So, you know, don't hesitate. Don't turn away from signing up, participating. 'Cause heck, you may find the one thing that nobody else is thinking to look for. And maybe it's because you've flown around in a circle counterclockwise 17 times, and now the system can't handle it and has a heart attack. You know?
I mean, plus, so, yeah. You know, participation in these alphas and betas means a better game for all GW players.
Yep. And not only that, here's where we're not going to appeal to your altruism anymore. Here's where we're going to appeal to your blatant self-interest. If you get... Here's the deal. When I filled out the Gothic Armada closed alpha form, it asked me a question. It said, what other betas and alphas have you participated in? And I got to put in Eternal Crusade, and I got to put in a couple of other things. If you have been in betas and alphas, then it looks better and it becomes more likely that you will be put in betas and alphas because they figure you're a known quantity. You know what to do when you're in an alpha versus in a live game. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So sign up, even, you know, get in, yeah. Play some.
Yeah,
send
my list of alphas and betas that I've been playing in is just growing.
Yeah, no, that's, it's never a bad thing to have. It's never a bad thing to be able to look at people and go, yeah, I was a beta tester, you know?
Exactly.
I mean, come on, there's an entire anime built around a guy who was in a beta, you know? Have you seen Sword Art Online?
Yes, I have.
Yeah, he's a beater. Anyway.
It's an awesome series.
I love that series, mainly because I'm an MMO junkie. Like, I'm an MMO junkie, so anime like Sword Art Online and like Dot Hack, like those get
yeah.
Those get me, because it's like, oh, honest, they're nerding. It's great. Go ahead.
I saw those and I was sitting there watching. I thought to myself, oh my god, we're not that far away from that. I can't wait.
You can. I don't want to be in Sword Art Online. That's a live kill experience.
That's because you're.
I don't want to. What? No, sir. I'm a beater. Anyway. All right. So here's really, you're correct. You just corrected my show notes. Was
yes.
was it bothering you that much?
Misspelling.
Was the misspelling bothering you that much, Darren?
Yes, it was. I hate the little red dots.
You hate the red dots. So we're going to skip the data slate today because we've gone on for quite a while. Which brings us to Devotions of the Faithful, which we haven't gotten any more reviews in. So please, guys, if you listen to us through iTunes, take the time, submit the review, let us know what you think about us, whether it's good, bad, indifferent. If it's a 5-star, we will praise your intelligence. If it is a 1-star review, we will post it along the category of amusing and funny crap, and we will tell you. Well, here's the deal. Like, honestly, if you send us something less than a 5-star review and you tell us why you're rating us lower, we will tell you whether or not that's something that we feel needs to be fixed, and we'll look to fix it if need be. Because
feedback, man.
Right, I am pliable. I will become whatever you guys want me to be. Hey, how you doing? You know? So I lie. If it's something we want to change, we'll let you know why, when and why we're changing it. If we don't want to change, we'll tell you why we're not changing it. So, but we would still appreciate your feedback and letting people know. And yeah, we'll laugh. We'll all have a great time. We'll laugh. We'll get a beer. It'll be great. Anyway. So that being said, we are at the end of our program, which is weird because our we never post our show notes, because if you looked at like pictures, like we post pictures and stuff into the show notes, and if you actually looked at some of the pictures that we post in the show notes, you'd be like, why are these people given free voice on the internet? So
they are, yeah, solely there for our own amusement.
Yeah, they're there for our own amusement and to put us in the right mood whenever we need to bitch about something or praise something or whatever. So, but no, we had a particularly short set of show notes today, which is weird because we're kind of running longer than what we would have run for a 3-page show. Mm-hmm. But at any rate, I just want to thank you guys for tuning in and putting up with us for another week as we assault your ear holes with the insanity that we spew. And I just want to, you know, thank you guys. You're going to hear us on the bumper to let you know how to get a hold of us. Please get a hold of us. Let us know what you think. Let us know what you think you think. Let us know what you think we should think. And other than that, hey, you know what? Tell us how the Tau suck. We'll tell you you're wrong, but tell us how you think they suck. Anyway, so... So at this point, I am Katsu, he is Gigabyte, we are Vox Arcona, and here is our thought for the day.
If a man dies that another should live, that man's spirit shall eat at the emperor's table, and he shall eat heartily.
Maybe like some, I don't know, some chunky soup, Campbell's chunky soup.
Some chicken re-ups.
I don't know that that's a 40K quote, but yea, verily, he shall dine on Campbell's chunky soup and ribs. That's totally there. Like, it's in a book somewhere. You just look it up. It'll be great. Until next time, see you guys later.
The Emperor's Cookbook.
3rd Adeptus Terra thanks you for tuning into tonight's broadcast of Vox Arcona, a production of Holosuite Media. Be sure to check our website, iTunes, or Stitcher Satellite Radio for our remastered VoxCasts and more. You can follow us on Twitter at VoxArcona. Or if you have any questions or comments, please send an email to voxarcona@gmail.com. Return next week for yet another communique from the Vox Arcona.